Hi, everyone. Welcome to the latest edition of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast here at Local Job Network. And it's the first time that we're reconvening since COVID-19 has taken over the U.S. Of course, I hope everyone is doing well physically and mentally also. I'm your host, Tim Yuma, and on the OFCCP podcast, really, if you haven't listened before, our goal is to take a deeper look at what's going on around OFCCP and its related entities. But we try to look at it in a more casual layout than what maybe you're typically used to hearing. With me once again, and this time from maybe a not so cold, but definitely a dark corner of his own world, that would be the founder and president of HR Analytical Services, Bill Osterndorf. Bill, welcome back.
Tim, it's great to be here. It's good to Oh, wait, I can't see you. You're invisible. No, you're somewhere. I don't know where you are, but you're somewhere. I assume you're in the Bahamas like usual, you know, sunning yourself on the beach and having a glorious time.
You clearly don't know how I burn, because there's no way I'd be laying on any beach unless I have like SPF 800 or whatever the highest mark is. But I appreciate the thought that I might be somewhere nice like that.
And for me, I'm just basically here in my house looking out my window and praying for the opportunity someday to stop looking out my window for the whatever day in a row this is. I know my son personally keeps a dialogue going on every day on Instagram where he talks about what day it is of the COVID lockdown. I refuse to play that game because I don't want to think about what day it is. It's Groundhog Day, I guess. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah, that's how I felt. It's Groundhog Day without the, you know, being able to go out and do all the fun stuff and then just wake up the next morning. But I guess,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It is what it is. Eventually it'll open up and we'll all remember what day it is. With that said,
yeah,
there is lots of stuff.
That.
Yeah, there's definitely lots of stuff going on around us, especially in the industries that we tend to focus on. There's been a ton going on really in the last couple of months. Obviously, we haven't recorded a podcast here in a while. Really, a lot to cover, so we might as well just jump right into it. And I guess the first place I thought of beginning, and you were right in tune with that, was the EEO-1 Component 1 reporting in 2020. Which now I can't really say that's actually happening, as EEOC is delaying that obligation. I guess what was your first thought when you saw that come through and realized that that was a reality?
You know, I was surprised. I really was very surprised, because there didn't seem to me to be a really, really good reason to delay it until 21. I understood pushing it back till summer or perhaps till fall.
Sure.
Maybe having EEOC go back to their traditional cycle of doing this with a third quarter payroll. But the idea that they're going to move this whole thing, not do any kind of EEO-1 survey during 2020, move the whole process to 2021, and then you're going to do two cycles in 2021, just kind of seems like a punishment to me. But, you know, they didn't ask me, and as usual, you know, my opinion counts for exactly nothing, as it does in so many areas. I guess, you know, there's a couple things that people need to take away from this. One of them is that it's important to remember that when you get to 2021, it will be a little bit confusing, I think, for people, because that in that first quarter 2021, companies will be required to report on 2 years, but those 2 years will be 2019 and 2020.
Right.
So I think there's just going to be a lot of people saying, well, I'm going to be reporting on 2 years, so I must be on reporting on 20 and 21. It's like, nope, this thing is going to be a lot like what they were just doing with component two, where you're reporting on two previous years. In 2021, you're going to be reporting only on traditional component one information, but it will be for 19 and 20. So that's the first thing people have to remember. The other question that has come up quite routinely is there a chance that we're going to have to go back to doing compensation reporting during 2021? And the current answer to that is no.
Okay.
As far as we can tell, the compensation thing is dead,
right,
at least for the moment. It does sort of seem like, you know, the vampire that never quite dies, because it gets, you know, resurrected at various points. And, you know, when we thought it was totally, completely, utterly dead, it did suddenly make an appearance, and we all ended up doing that reporting here in the last year. But at the moment, we have no expectation people will be doing the component two reporting. Instead, you'll be doing component one reporting in 2021. and you'll be doing 2 years worth of that. So if you have to run payrolls now to deal with that, be sure to do that. And just stay on top of what's going on, because of course there's always the possibility of more change. This thing has changed quite a bit, and every few months it seems to, do something different. So we'll see what happens.
So do you see this as at least somewhat of a reprieve for employers who have to worry about this? I mean, obviously you mentioned it could get challenging and a bit confusing if you wait longer to take care of this stuff, but if they are on top of things, or they kind of get started on making sure they have everything, all their ducks in a row, does it make it a little easier for them in the long run, do you think?
I think it's a lot like everything for employers that are on top of it.
Yeah.
If people are paying attention, realize that they're going to have to have information for 19 that they're reporting in 21, it should be fine. People should be able to do that kind of reporting. In theory, there should be a lot of HR information systems that are set up to allow for that reporting in that way. My issue that I have here is sort of twofold. First of all, not every company is really on top of it this way. And secondly, there are some systems that are not really set up to produce reporting this way. So again, I think that, the message you need to take is, you need to think about the question, how are we going to make sure that we can report these 2 years when we get to 21? I don't know that reporting for 2020 will be hard. I think reporting for 2019 could be more of a problem. To your question, is this a reprieve for employers in some ways? Does it make their lives easier? Are they, is it simpler because they're currently dealing with all the COVID issues and everything else going on? I guess. I mean, it's nice to have one thing off your plate at the moment, and certainly everybody has plenty of things that they're trying to deal with in terms of benefits that they're trying to adjust and all the other pieces connected to the pandemic. But, EEO-1 is usually not that hard to do if people know when it's going to happen and their systems are set up properly.
Sure.
So I don't know that this delay is really helpful to employers, and it might be problematic for some employers.
Interesting. Well, I think, as you said, if employers are on top of it already, it probably doesn't necessarily do any damage in the long run. But as always, the famous lawyer answer, it depends. So I'll stick with that one for now.
It depends. That's always my favorite, and I like to go with that, because that way I never get in trouble.
Exactly. So. It's perfect. All right. Another piece of news that I think actually came out the next day, if I'm recalling correctly, was that OCCP had received approval for an updated self-ID form for individuals with disabilities. I guess, what do you see as the key aspects of this, whether it is something new or something that hasn't changed?
Yeah, it was amazing to have two things that people have been waiting for literally months. People have been asking. I know people have been asking me pretty consistently every week, when is this thing coming up? When is this thing coming up? When is this thing coming up? And to have them be one day after the other, you sort of would think after a while that EEOC and OCCP would coordinate enough that they'd give you just a little, breather between, major announcements. But, it's good to have stuff to do with your time. And so one day it was the EEOC announcement, the next day OCCP. The revised disability survey form is, I would say, it's not hugely, hugely different than what there was previously. It does have some language changes. It clarifies, I think, a few things in some ways. I think one of the things that people are going to like is it's now one page as opposed to two pages. That's, that should simplify what you have to provide to employees and applicants. I guess OCCP was thinking that the list they currently have in this version of the form for different conditions that may be considered a disability, they felt that the current list that they've now put out is a more effective list that will help people better understand what's going on. I don't know if that's the case necessarily. There's so many conditions that could be considered a disability that every time you add one, then, you know, there's another one you should think about adding, or you have to take one off that
Sure.
you really should have. So I think there's a back and forth on that. In the long run, I think, you know, there's a couple things that are important about the new form. One of those, and probably the most important thing to recognize, is that the new form has to be in use no later than August 4th.
Okay.
So it sounds like that should be simple, because all you're doing is swapping forms. And, you know, if we were all still living in a paper world, which disappeared, you know, 20, 25 years ago, whatever, it would be simple. Because all you would do is, you know, for your new employee packets and for the things that you give to applicants in their application form, you would simply swap out the new form for the old form and you'd be good. The reason I think that people need to be aware of this August 4th deadline is that you're going to have to work with your applicant tracking system vendors, with your human resource information system vendors, to make sure that they get this form into the various different places that it's being used to collect data on your applicants and employees. And while some of the ATS and HR system vendors will be very much on top of this, there will also be some vendors that are not, and that won't really get around to this until they start to think about it in July or August or later. So for federal contractors and subcontractors, here's your next task for the day. After you've got all your EEO-1 information collected for 2019, it's time to make some phone calls to your ATS vendor, to your HR systems vendor, and say, hey, this thing happened. Oh boy, it's very exciting. And now we need to make sure that we get it into the system. And when the system vendor says, well, you know, that's going to take us till, you know, November, or it's going to take us until August and then there'll be a big upcharge. I think as federal contractors and subcontractors, you have to push back and say, no, August 4th, drop dead date, you know, no delays, nothing beyond that. And there will be no upcharge for this, because this is a required form from the government. It is not an optional form. It's something we have to do. And thus, what you want to make sure is that this is finished by the date that we need it by. Now, you know, the last piece to this is that any time that you do any surveying of disability, this form needs to be used. So what else is going on here for companies that are thinking about doing a resurvey of the workforce? And that's something that a lot of companies are thinking about doing this year, that they're in the process of doing. It is important to use this new form as opposed to the now expired form, because, you know, this is the form that OCCP has approved for use at this point. And that resurvey of the workforce that has to happen every 5 years, companies should be really looking at how they get that done this year. Potentially they should have gotten it done last year, but
right.
Certainly it should be getting done this year, the latest next year, using this new form. So a lot of things attached to this form. The form itself, not a huge change except from going from two pages to one page, but it is one of those things where it has to be used, and it has to be used by August 4th.
And, you know, Bill, I love that you brought up the employers, the contractors having to reach out to, you know, whoever they might be using as outside vendors. Truthfully, it didn't even cross my mind. I'm thinking this is all an internal idea. But, you know, we talk about it so often with OFCCP that if you are using a third party of any kind, you need to stay on them, because in the end, you as the contractor are responsible, no matter what happens on that third party's end. And this is clearly a case where, as you brought up, it could cause, even if it's a minor issue, it could turn into a bigger one.
Yeah, that's something that I think that really comes out clearly from OACCP. They will tell you that routinely.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that we were doing an industry liaison group meeting this morning, and our district director here in Milwaukee said exactly that. That, you know, in terms of implementing this form, while sure, you know, your ATS vendor, your HR systems vendor may be very much involved in that, the responsibility is with the contractor.
Right.
And so, you know, so they're not going to give you a lot of latitude to say, oh, my nasty vendor hasn't done this for me. It's really the responsibility of the contractor or the federal subcontractor to get this done and to get it done in a timely way.
Good stuff. Again, I think it's awesome to point that out, because I don't know that initially clicks for everybody as far as taking care of that, you know, outside of your own walls, so to speak. Of course, there's been plenty of focus on the impacts of COVID-19 on employers, on workers, hiring practices. And it does seem like overall OFCCP has shown quite a bit of understanding within, you know, what their role is with all of this. What has stood out to you as far as OFCCP's reaction to the COVID issues and maybe how they've seen a way to be more helpful and not necessarily infringe upon a lot of these employers' troubles that they have?
You know, I think we got to give OFCCP some credit for once. We occasionally give them credit
just
anyway.
Let's do this
and let's never speak about this again after after today.
So, just kidding, Craig Lean.
Yeah.
We love you.
Everybody OFCCP, you're great, and we enjoy our time with you as much as we do when we have family gatherings and things like that. So. Not to say any families would ever be dysfunctional or anything along those lines, but I have heard stories. So OFCCP has done the following. While their scheduling letters continue to say you have 30 days to turn in your affirmative action plans when you start a compliance review, whether it's a traditional review or a focused review or whatever, they are also making organizations aware as they start a review that if they need more time, they can automatically get more time.
Mm-hmm.
So that realistically, OFCCP is giving pretty much automatic extensions to 60 days for submitting your affirmative action plan narratives, and you get up to 90 days to submit your affirmative action plan statistics. That's a real godsend for lots of organizations, because obviously, you know, with those organizations that have a lot of people out currently, including mm-hmm. the HR people, the ability to take that extra time can really be important. There's also, you know, even organizations that actually are still working, still have people in place, you know, people are routinely dealing with COVID issues, are dealing with all the traditional issues that may affect the HR area. So to have this extra time to submit your information to OFCCP has been really valuable. And, you know, it's certainly true that in theory, everybody is getting their affirmative action plans done as soon as they expire, and that 30 days should be more than sufficient. And at the moment, of course, OFCCP is still working off of corporate scheduling announcement lists that came out in March of 19 and November of 19.
Right.
So, you know, the people who are getting reviewed should absolutely know that they need to have their stuff done. But, you know, it's simple human nature that you can only do so many things at once. And for people and companies that are trying to deal with not just COVID issues, but with things generally concerning the economic downturn, to have this extra time to submit your affirmative action plan, I think really makes a difference and has been a real positive for OFCCP to the contractor community. We've seen, you know, cases that contractors even be able to ask for additional time if there really is some clear indication that there's a serious problem that's causing them to be further delayed. It's not, I think, one of those things that you want to do lightly, to sort of assume that you can take, you know, 120 days or whatever to submit. It's always best to get your information into OFCCP as soon as you can. But at least at the moment, it's realistic to say, you know, we have some extra time that we can get automatically, and we can use that time effectively to both get our information ready and to take a look at it in a way that will make sure that it's accurate and complete, and we'll make OFCCP happy. Because really, in the long run, that's really what we want out of our lives, is to make OFCCP happy.
Well, if we all keep each other happy, then the world goes round, and everybody is in a better state of mind. So maybe this COVID does bring us all together in the end, because OFCCP and federal contractors, everybody else, we're all working together in harmony. I think it's a beautiful thing.
I think that's exactly right, Tim. I want to reach out and hold your hand at this point, but we're just too far away, and so we'll have to save that for some other time. One other quick note on COVID-19, by the way, and then we'll leave it for the moment. OCCP has issued an announcement that says that if you are an organization that has a contract in which you are directly working on a COVID-19 project. So if you are working on research towards a cure, if you are providing resources that are being used in hospitals to deal with COVID-19, if that project started here in March or later, a lot of the requirements under the various affirmative action laws will not be extended to you. There is what they're referring to as a national interest exemption for some of those organizations. Please know, however, that these are really only for contracts that are directly related to coronavirus relief. So if you have a scheduled review and it's not specifically for something that's a coronavirus project, that review will go forward. You will get extra time to submit, but the review will go forward. If, however, you're doing a coronavirus project, you won't even see the review go forward.
All right. Good to know. And I think a good place for us to wrap things up, because we have blown through the time in a good way, obviously, because there's so much going on. And, Bill, obviously always appreciate the detail and some of the, interesting aspects that you can lay out. This will not be our last podcast. We will continue to drive through and get a couple more here sooner than later. In fact, I guarantee at least one more will come out very quickly. So with that, Bill, we'll go ahead and wrap things up. Appreciate you coming on, and we will talk to you again shortly.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Tim.
All right. With that, that will be the end of this edition of the OFCCP Compliance Podcast presented by Local Job Network. We do hope you continue to check out these podcasts and also check out Local Job Network's website on top of HR Analytical Services website as well. Lots of great information. And if you're looking for any assistance in any of these areas that we can help, feel free to contact either of us and we will be there for you. So with that and everyone here at Local Job Network, I'm Tim Muma. Take care, everybody.